Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast, brought to you today by SteelSeries and their new range of Alias microphones. They're mics made for gamers. We've been using them on the podcast for a little while now, and a big shout out to SteelSeries for supporting the show. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
James.
Hello.
Brody.
Hello.
And Kieran.
Hello.
On the show today, we're going to be talking about PlayStation's first State of Play for the year, the new Silent Hill game that was released during said State of Play. Going to be coming to you for that one, James. And Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League now that it's launched. We've held the episode a little bit this week for some of this news to appear. Admittedly, I've not played much Suicide Squad yet, but I'm eager to discuss it all the same. But first, check out what I got today. Audio listeners, I'm holding up my PlayStation Portal. Came in the mail. First impressions, Shannon. I'm very pleasantly surprised by how like robust this thing is and how stable my internet's been.
Lovely. So I wasn't lying then. That's good. Good to know.
No, yeah. I guess like because I know your experience with it was positive, but I wasn't sure like bringing it into my particular situation if it was going to be difficult, but like I've got one of those Eero mesh networks in this place, and it's only a small two-bedroom apartment, so I'm not kind of straying too far from anything, and otherwise my PlayStation's hardwired and it has been like rock solid. The little bit of Suicide Squad I have played has just been on that, and I've been very impressed. But it is launch day. I'm sure plenty of people getting their PlayStation portals as a recording. Kieran, you've had your hands on one as well. How has your experience with it been kind of in a real world environment?
Yeah, pretty good so far. I'd say like yours and my networks are pretty similar. I've got a two bedroom, okay, like little townhouse and a little Eero mesh network set up. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's been good. Like being able to just sit in bed and play the console from the other room has been perfect so far.
Have you given it a go on your Steam Deck, Brody? The PlayStation, the what's it called, Remote Play?
I don't understand the question. Like, what do you mean?
Apparently, you can do it on a Steam Deck.
You need like a third-party app. I think it's called like Chaiki or something. I don't think.
Why would you do that? Can like.
Yeah, I've heard I was eager to ask Brody because I've heard the experience is better.
I think I've established that I'm not the use case for taking my PlayStation remote when it's literally in the next room on the big TV that I have free reign to. So, yeah,
his
portal
will remain closed.
But you own a Steam Deck and an Asus ROG Ally, so that's
I do.
You don't mind some portable gaming?
They're dedicated devices though,
because I don't have a TV and PlayStation at work. Like. What do you want,
pal? Anyway. That's very fair.
Yeah.
I feel like you do play it a lot in bed.
Oh my god, he doesn't want it.
Oh my god,
just fucking I'm not saying.
Write my diary for me, won't you? Christ.
Yeah. So you don't use them in your house ever?
Yes, I use them in my house, but I don't use them to play PlayStation games. Let's move on. Fuck.
I think it's very fair. Like, if you're not competing for the screen and like the PlayStation's just in the next room, then there probably isn't much of a need for it, but. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's more just like the comfort of like lying in bed for me and kind of playing something there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see how I continue to use it. But if the rumors kind of today are anything to be believed, PlayStation might be continuing to explore like dedicated kind of portable hardware. And I was kind of like hoping by supporting this, we might encourage that sort of behavior. So that's kind of part of my motivation as well. But who knows? That's all still to play out. Before we get into today's news, I did want to quiz you and Kieran Brody. Brody and Kieran, I said that oddly, the two of you. Because you submitted an article to the website about Steam Next Fest. The two of you kind of played a stack of games that are available as part of that initiative. You featured a tons in the article. I do want people to go and check that out. But did you want to kind of like shout out one each that you would kind of recommend people check out as part of Steam Next Fest?
A couple I'd quickly shout out would be probably being the Devolver shill I am. Like, I'm a big fan of Pepper Grinder. It's a cool piratey sort of platforming sort of adventure where the movement kind of reminds me very much of, I guess, like Echo the Dolphin a little bit in terms of how you can, like, dig into the ground, which is, you know, and analogous for the water, I suppose, and then sort of like pop up because you use your grinding tool and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's like a Twitch, very precision platform sort of thing, like probably one of the better ones I've played since Celeste at this point. So obviously I've only played a little bit, but it's got a little bit of promise. And there was a few horror games that jumped out at me during this particular Next Fest. So one I'd sort of highlight might be like the Silk Bulb Test, which is something that I'd seen pop up on Twitter before it popped up on this thing. And yeah, it's just a creepy, creepy thing. You might want to get a few mates around you and if you're going to give this one a go. Yeah.
We're already planning it for Silent Hill, so maybe I tee that up at the same time. What about yourself, Kieran? What would you recommend?
I guess, yeah, like one of the ones I was excited to try going in was Flock, which is by the people that made Hohokam. And that's kind of like a little bit like Flower, where you kind of just have like this big environment to just kind of fly around. But it's also got kind of creature cataloging elements. So you're in this kind of abstract world and you go looking for these creatures and you've got to catalog them in your little science diary based on like their behaviors and all this kind of stuff. It's like super, super zen, like really chill, really easygoing. There's no combat or anything. You just fly around on your giant bird and you look at creatures and learn about this world. That was really cool. I was really excited to play that. One that was a complete surprise that I just kind of happened across as I was looking through the Next Fest stuff, is a game called Mullet Mad Jack. And it's basically like an 80s anime styled, like first person shooter, kind of roguelike run-based thing where you're climbing this big dystopian tower trying to rescue this anime princess. And Ewan, you'd probably like it. It's got very Angerfoot vibes where you're just like kicking in doors and like exploding shit. But like the twist is that you only have 15 seconds to live and every enemy you kill adds 3 more seconds to the clock. So instead of spending time wiping out the entire room, you've just kind of bolting from one floor to the next, killing as many dudes as you can on the way to keep the timer going.
Nice.
It's really, really cool. Like very stylized, very cool looking. So I'd recommend checking that out.
Yeah, I noticed in your write-up you called out Angerfoot, which you mentioned, but Post Void as well, which was another game that very much spoke to me. So yeah, this looks like it's right up my street. The Mullet Mad Jack, is this an Australian developed game by any chance, or is that just there's another country out there with a fascination of mullets?
Yeah, I don't actually know the answer to that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I think there were a couple of Australian games you kind of checked out in amongst all this, though, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think another good one, another Aussie developed one would probably be Copycat, which if for people that like Stray, it's less sci-fi, but still kind of in that same vein.
Cool. I love a bit of cats in video games. That's going to be another one I have to add to my list then. All right, let's crack on with the show. We do have plenty to talk about, kicking off with the PlayStation State of Play that happened Thursday morning, our time here in Australia, that was pretty stacked in my own opinion. But Shannon, what of the announcements stood out to you? Was there something that caught your eye?
To be honest, there were a lot of games. Oh. It was a good sort of showcase, but I don't know, not a lot for me personally. Like I didn't play too much of Death Stranding, so like I can appreciate too, but obviously wasn't excited. I'm not a huge Silent Hill fan, and from what James has said, I don't think there's too much to be excited about there. But the Dave the Diver stuff was cool. They seem to be just pumping out collaborations. Admittedly, I haven't gone back and played the Dredge collab yet, so I don't know how that turned out. But Godzilla's a cool get. Judas, a big Bioshock fan, so that still looks very cool. And Until Dawn, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I really like the original. It's cool that it's Unreal Engine 5 and they're adding like third person and a few other things to it. But obviously, yeah, I don't know how much that needed to exist. But I'll play through it again. I don't really remember too much of it except it being a good time, and I never played it again to experience some of the other endings and whatever else. So
yeah,
I don't know, it's cool, but yeah, it's a leanish year for PlayStation. It feels like it's gonna be
Okay, I'm interested if you feel that way. I like,
well, Death Stranding's not this year. I think that sort of surprised a lot of people, because that, like, there's nothing for holiday that we know of, so, and that's not it. So
yeah, I suppose these ones were all kind of a little bit further. I mean, a lot of them were quite like sooner than we anticipated. I think I suspect Kieran will touch on Stellar Blade some more, but that if I'm not mistaken, that was an April release, which was a little bit sooner than we kind of all anticipated. So like the front half of the year looks pretty good for PlayStation, but yeah, we really don't know what the latter half looks like. And a lot of the stuff being spoken about here was 2025, maybe even beyond that. So it is a little bit unknown at the moment. Until Daunting struck me as a little bit odd as well, I must admit. Like, Kieran, you and I were on the call at the time, like as we were watching it, and I think we were both a bit like, oh, this looks like a Supermassive game. Looks very much like Until Dawn, though. Oh, no, it is Until Dawn. Okay. But I guess, like, in the context of the movie coming out and being announced this week, that suddenly makes a lot more sense. Kieran, let's come to you, seeing as I've teed you up enough there. What stood out to you?
I mean, Death Stranding is probably, like, the biggest one. I was expecting something lengthy and weird. I don't think I was expecting like a quarter of the total runtime to be dedicated to that one trailer, but I've already like rewatched it a couple of times just because there's like so many cool details and stuff in there.
What was your favorite moment of the trailer? There's maybe so many to choose from.
There's too many. I mean, the guitar obviously is a big one. Troy but Baker the puppet is a favorite sword. Already.
The puppet's so weird.
Just like the whole like stop motion like frame rate and stuff. Like I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like Sonic X Shadow Generations, which is the worst name ever, but like I'm excited to replay Generations, and the Shadow stuff looks admittedly stupidly edgy, which is great. Yeah.
You'll have to forgive my ignorance there, but this is like a remaster, but Shadow is new to it. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So it's a remaster of Sonic Generations, but then it's got like a standalone Shadow campaign that they've added.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. And Stellar Blade was cool to see, because that's kind of like I think probably the most in-depth look we've actually had at how that game works.
Yeah.
And what like the narrative and the world are going to be like. So that was cool. And yeah, as you said, it's coming out quite soon.
Yeah. I mean, the combat looks awesome. And I think watching the trailer, I commented on the enemy variety as well, like some of those boss fights that look really quite almost like From Software sort of esque, but with like a much kind of like faster and flashier hack and slash kind of combat than that we might maybe be a bit more Final Fantasy style, but a combination of different things. But yeah, the kind of story in the world and the lore that they kind of introduced in the trailer as well. I mean, I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to this game in the lead up. This is the first time I have properly given it a look. But yeah, I was really quite impressed, and suddenly this game is on my radar, and it wasn't previously. What did you make of the Death Stranding 2 trailer, James? How did that sit with you?
Yeah, I loved it. I'm not gonna look into it too much. Just gonna watch them and let it all happen, and then just enjoy it when it comes out. Like I think that was a much better trailer than obviously anything he's done before for Death Stranding 2. I kind of like wish they would bring back Mads instead of Troy Baker. Like I know that for story reasons, obviously maybe Troy Baker is cheaper, but also like it doesn't make any sense. But nothing in this world makes sense, so like I'm sure they can do it. But yeah, like overall,
Sorry to interrupt. I am curious. Like, I didn't play through Death Stranding. I kind of lost interest pretty early on. And I really don't know the story. Like, no one's kind of ever made an effort to explain it to me. Like, watching this trailer, did it make sense? Or was this all, like, pretty kind of new? And
well, I think some of it makes sense.
Is that set up?
Like the stuff with Elle Fanning makes a lot of sense if you finish the game.
Okay.
So, because they're hinting at some pretty cool stuff there. Based on what happens in the first. But the stuff like Higgs coming back, which is Troy Baker's character, dressed as Amelie, like that doesn't really make any sense, but that's kind of the excitement of it. Like, there's bits and pieces you can definitely put together. I actually thought the other day, because obviously if the first one is kind of America, what if this one is like kind of Australia? Because there's like three Australians in it. Like, I just find that to be a weird coincidence. I don't know. It's a bit random, but
yeah. I kind of got the impression it was like Europe or like specifically France, which like kind of, maybe it was just because of some of the French.
Yeah.
Maybe you go still, like, got the impression it was America and Mexico and stuff, if anything.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's all connected. It's Pangea now. Like, just one big continent.
I thought that was funny, though, because, like, I don't know if anyone still follows The Walking Dead at all. I kind of don't, but Norman Reedus is in a new kind of spin-off series of The Walking Dead in which he's traveled to France. And I was like, are they just doing the same thing in Death Stranding? Is that just a weird coincidence? But I don't know how much truth there is to any of that. What else? What else stood out to you besides Death Stranding?
I thought it was pretty good. I didn't really care too much for Stellar Blade or Rise of the Ronin. Like, I feel like they look a little bit mid to me. But...
Yeah,
obviously the big one for me was like finally seeing Silent Hill. Whether like I came away from that more enthusiastic or not is like another like topic entirely. But yeah, like I'm glad we're finally seeing more. But I think the biggest thing for me, regardless of what anything looks like, is that we haven't got Silent Hill to. Dated yet. Like, I feel like that was...
Yeah.
It seemed to be so close in terms of, like, Bloober's kind of talked about how... the way they talk about it is, like, they finished it and they're just waiting for Konami to kind of put it out there. And then to get this trailer and nothing actually has been dated, you know? It just doesn't make sense.
I did want to ask you about Silent Hill, James, because, yeah, like you kind of alluded to, there was, I feel like, a bit of a lukewarm reception to, like, the look and sort of feel of the game. And I don't know if it's because people are kind of expecting it to be, Resident Evil-esque in terms of it being a remake. That's exactly but...
what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Which is, like, and I'm sure that's what Konami's trying, like, in a way. They've looked at what Capcom's done with Resident Evil and they're trying to kind of emulate that. The problem is like Resident Evil has always had like I guess a tinge of action to it, right? So it kind of makes sense making it like that. But with this trailer for Silent Hill 2 specifically, it's a lot of like hard guitar music and like mash X to escape creatures and stuff. Like it just feels a little bit more actiony than it should be, I guess. Which is weird because like Bloober, I've talked about Bloober at length. Like they're not the best at combat. So like, why they're just going gung ho into this game with combat when it might not really be the right tone, is a bit odd to me.
Yeah.
and then like nothing really compares to that, especially like with the short message, which is the game they kind of shadow dropped. I don't know. Like it's a 3-hour experience.
I do want to get to your impressions on that.
We'll talk about that later. but yeah, we'll talk about that later, obviously. But they're definitely trying to emulate kind of what Capcom did with Resident Evil. Yeah. I don't know if it's working out for them as much as expected. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think overall, really cool. Showing. I didn't really, like I was saying to Shannon, like normally I kind of get bored for a bit and finish off some images and stuff, but I got to the end of the show and I hadn't done anything and I was like, oh, fuck. So, like, I feel like that was a testament to how good this showing was for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, before I get to overall impressions, Brody, I know you've been very excited to see the next game from the BioShock creators. We saw Judas. Did you get to watch the trailer in the end? What did you make of it?
I did. Yeah, it looks really good. I don't know if it looks as... maybe it's just the trailer I watched, but I don't think it was as visually impressive as the last trailer we saw. Like, I feel like it sort of... Yeah, it looks a little worse than the last showing, but it still looks really good. Like, it just... Yeah, it looks like another Ken Levine game, which, you know, comes with it's the good and the bad, like, but...
Yeah. Sorry, it's remarkable just how... BioShock it looks
like. Yeah, like everyone's made the point this week in how like he shuttered Irrational Games effectively to make smaller experiences and has come back basically with a new BioShock game, which is leads to all sorts of questions. But yeah, that was probably because I managed to catch up on a lot of this stuff after the fact because obviously I was away, but yeah, that was obviously a highlight. The Death Stranding 2 trailer was obviously weird as fuck. Hate the title, by the way.
Yeah,
awful.
On the beach,
worse
is that
than
right?
Sonic X Shadow Generations.
Yeah,
dreadful title, but you know it looks great. and look, I'm just keen for another reason to hold on to my PSVR 2. So eager for a Metro game in VR, like you know that could be pretty good. So, all in all, I'd say it's a half the stuff hit for me, half the stuff probably didn't, but as long as there's something for everyone, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I was really relieved to see VR make an appearance, and I think the Metro game looks really impressive. I think it was unfortunate that there was a trailer there after it. I'm now blanking what the
skeletons
game
where you just hit
skeletons. Yeah, but it's like another, like, I feel like on VR there's like so many of these kind of and magic wielding things.
So Metro is coming to the Meta Quest, which like is fine, but it's just like everything that comes to Meta Quest like doesn't come to PlayStation VR, and like I feel like everything that comes to VR too like comes to the Meta Quest. So I still feel like they're dropping the ball there a little bit.
They're not like really kind of justifying.
There's not a lot of like, first party.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
No, but, and like all the good exclusives are on, because Meta are like obviously investing in development and have money, so they're investing in all the exclusive games.
Yeah. Mm. It was Legendary Tales. That was the next trailer that they showed, which like, I think it was just unfortunate that it kind of landed. It did, because it's nowhere near as like kind of as produced a trailer, but I think the game itself looked quite neat. Like a multiplayer sort of thing in this space, I think is really quite cool as well. Yeah, I don't think I need to add anything else. You guys kind of all called out the games that I'm excited for. I'm still eager to get onto Helldivers 2, which is sooner rather than later. Rise of the Ronin, I forgot now which of you mentioned it. But yeah, I sort of feel like I need to go hands-on with this game and get a sense of like how it plays. I just worry that like in comparison to Ghost of Tsushima, which I love, it's just going to feel a very different kind of game, and I'm gonna want it to be more Ghost of Tsushima, and it's just not. And whether or not it excels in doing something differently, I don't know, but I kind of need to get hands on and give it a go, I think. Kieran, how did you rate the show overall? Are you kind of still pleased with State of Play as a format? Did you think this is a good start to the year for the format?
Yeah, I think it was good. I think it was like a strong showing to kick off the year. Like we've touched on already, It is kind of weird that we don't really know much beyond the next few months, or between the next few months and like 2025. But I think they've justified that showcase and given people enough reason to get excited.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's cool that we get to see another State of Play in just a couple of weeks, right? For Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, next week.
Next week, even sooner than that. Cool. What about yourself, Brody? How do you sort of feel about these style of presentation?
Look, I like them. Like, all the more reason to show more games. Like I said about the Xbox One, I thought that was really well produced. This is obviously, for a different audience. But, I was pretty happy with it. Like, I sort of watched it. I didn't get to watch it in its entirety, so I sort of watched it piecemeal. But if I could sort of imagine what it was like to be there in the room with all of you getting excited. Look, I imagine it would have been a pretty good showing. There's a lot of cool stuff there. I'm surprised no one mentioned Kojima's espionage IP, where he's getting
back in
bed.
It's like 47 years away, though. Like, it's so hard to get
excited
about that stuff.
Getting back in bed with PlayStation.
Yeah,
I will say that end shot was like one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a showcase. Like,
what, really?
What,
that end like, shot where it's like panning out and then drone, like all in one take, as if we're in
Hollywood
out.
Sort of style thing.
I'm just not gonna speak for the rest of this episode. Like, literally, like saying the most uncontroversial thing, and then getting attacked four ways.
I honestly thought it was a bit cheesy, to be honest. We don't have to agree.
Just
it's
from
fine.
A shooting point of view, like objectively, like it looked. I'm not going to over-explain it. Continue on.
Yeah,
I'd like to see you do it, Ewan.
Oh, no chance. But yeah, I don't have a drone.
Makes it hard.
Yeah, I kind of get where they're going, PlayStation, and I think for someone like Kojima, that kind of makes it like that's quite an exciting prospect, because he's such a like a kind of transmedia sort of, I think at least he wants to be a kind of transmedia sort of auteur. And even like the mention of music was quite interesting to me, because we, like, if you follow him on Twitter, all he's ever doing is kind of posting screenshots of his Walkman and whatever he's listening to. That was interesting they call that music to me specifically, but I guess that's kind of maybe like the value proposition Sony have in like continuing to work with that studio, is like, okay, come with us, because like what you're doing in a game, like hand in hand, we can make a movie version, or I don't know, maybe in his mind it's all the same thing, I don't know. And I think they were kind of just trying to emphasize the point with that funky shot that Shannon was talking about. I just kind of feel like that's not a novel thing anymore. Like, we're kind of in an age where movies and video games and TV shows are kind of all intersecting, and the way they presented it kind of just made it look like this is something new and revolutionary, and I'm a bit like, is it really nowadays? I don't know.
But it could be. I feel like if anybody could pull that off, it's him. Honestly.
Yeah.
Having grown up with his games, especially, like, he's every gen, he has pushed the envelope in one way. And I,
yeah.
But I do worry, like, I do have felt like, once again, having grown up, he is more interested in film more than games now. So, like, I do wonder, like, what, I think, what's it called? InSync or Figint?
Isn't?
Fizzint or something like that.
Fizzint? Yeah.
InSync, close enough. Yeah, like, I do wonder what that looks like, if it's like MGS with today's Kojima, because that's, I don't know if I want that. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what he does, of course, but I do feel like that's a PS6 idea at this stage, right?
Totally. Like, I think it's a long time before we see this game. Which is why I
didn't talk about it, but yeah.
Yeah, like, considering Overdose is kind of in the mix as well, or OD. I forget OD, what I should be referring to it as. OD, considering that's in the mix as well, we don't really know what that is and, like, how big or long a project that's going to be. But interesting that that was also kind of described as, like, an interactive experience, and that kind of seems to be what the language he uses now, as opposed to a video game. I don't know. Maybe that's not radically different, though, because they've always had crazy long cutscenes, haven't they, his games? So, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, before we move on, and I suppose we better should, I want to tell you more about these SteelSeries mics that we're using here on the show and have been for the last fair few episodes now. As we've said before, we're incredibly grateful for SteelSeries for kitting us out with these. They help us sound great and haven't complicated our setups at all. They were super easy to get set up and use day to day as we do. The 3x larger capsule that's in them helps keep us sounding great on the podcast, and it's like dead easy to manage all the mics' noise cancellation and EQs, as well as the sound that we get through our SteelSeries headsets as well, through their Sonar software. I'm forever just adjusting all of my balances now and through there, and just to use the one piece of software to manage my mics, even through, like, the video chat software that we have to use each day at work and stuff. It's dead easy. So I'm a big fan of the mics and very appreciative of SteelSeries for kidding us out with them all. But James, I did promise I would come back to you and talk about Silent Hill, The Short Message, which kind of dropped during the... I called it SteelSeries, didn't I? Silent Hill, The Short Message, which dropped during the State of Play. You've played it. How did you find the game? I guess it's not very long, by the way, because you've smashed through it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's three hours. Well, it took me 3 hours. Cool. I was taking my time. So it's its own thing. It's not really related to anything else, so you can play it without having played Silent Hill, all that jazz. You boot it up, very minimalistic. It reminds me a lot of the Resident Evil demo that first came out. Remember the, I don't know if you guys remember the, like, Resident Evil 7 beginning hour?
Oh, the kitchen?
Remember the one that was after that, where you could actually play it, and it's just like, there's no combat, it's just like a kind of a vibe check for, like, the game. But the menus are literally the same, and, like, the little clicks are the same. Like, I know that it reminds me a lot of Power World, how it's like copy shit from Zelda and all that, like, so it's very similar that in that way. But obviously it is still very much, it felt like a Bloober game a lot. I did think it was better than Layers of Fear, Kieran. But I do think it was still very much just walk through rooms, pick up some files, read some shit, and then at the end of each chapter, run away from something. Which obviously, like, from a horror perspective, I don't particularly find that good anymore. Like, I think years ago when, you know, Outlast just came out,
Amnesia
is the other one. That was all really cool then. But to me, it felt very dated in a way because of that.
Yeah.
And the cool thing, like, there was some cool stuff in this demo. Like, you play a girl in this apartment building that's like a known suicide spot. And she's going to visit a friend, and all you have is your phone. So she gets texts from her friends and stuff, and some of the texts you eventually kind of get this idea that you might not be texting a person, like it might be some kind of force or something. And that stuff is, like, quite chilling and quite creepy. Mm. But like, I just feel like they could have done a lot more with almost every. It just there's potential there, but it just doesn't reach it, in my opinion. Right. But for like a free 3-hour thing, I think it's like fine. But I just think that if this is the idea, because I think the rumor years ago was that this was going to be a kind of like indication for where the series is going.
Yeah.
And I don't, maybe 3 years ago that would have been really good. But like now, I don't know. It just feels like, and it just feels like every like attempt to be a Silent Hill game now, you know? I don't know, like, I don't know how much experience you guys have with the franchise, but there's this kind of, it's the same thing. Every time someone tries to make a new Silent Hill game since the first four, it's like protagonist with like, you know, hidden secret or like untold sins or something, and they have to face their sins and all that kind of shit. Like, it's just, it's the same shit over and over again.
Is that not the common thread that you need, though, to make it a Silent Hill game? Like,
not really. The first step is to have it set in Silent Hill. That would help, I think, because that setting is, like, so important for... I can't tell you without ruining stuff, but, like, the setting is important for, like, the way that the horror is, I guess, manifested. But, yeah, Ewan, to go back to what you... To talk about, like, the common thread, there's so much more to the... There's, like, just... It's not even a common thread. It's like an intricate tapestry, like, between games. So, I think you can't just put that shit in there and just be like, yeah, cool, this is Silent Hill. Like, it really isn't. Okay. I will give this game props because it deals with some subject matter that is pretty, pretty, I guess, dark, deep, and difficult for some people, for sure. But it just hits you over the head with it, like, so much, like, in terms of the, you know, social media is bad, bullying is bad kind of shit. And you can see that right. In the picture that's, like, on the store with the girl with all the shit written on her face. But, yeah, like, I think it's... Like, obviously, I've seen people say, like, I shouldn't complain because it's free. But, like, I feel like this it's still worth critiquing just because I didn't pay for it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like expectations are kind of caught up in this as well, right? Like, given that these were kind of leaked so long ago, like, we've kind of had it maybe built up in our heads. I think
expectations are important because it's called Silent Hill. Like, and that's my other thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If Konami just put this out and called it, like...
And they're bringing it back after such a long
shit
time.
Shit on her face.
No, kill
the game.
No, just call it, like, the call apartment. The short message. Or something like... call it the short message. Like, that's even cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of baggage there. And I know that that's maybe my fault, but, like, it's a series. That's the idea.
I think because this leaked like years ago in terms of like it was meant to come out any second. And I don't know, like Silent Hill fans just seem to be crazy for whatever reason.
It's because they haven't had anything for so long.
Well, yeah, like, everyone's like crap, ravenous. Right? Like but I just feel like coming back with this is, and then risking it all in Silent Hill 2, which I don't know if I think we spoke about before. Like it does seem very risky. Like it's make or break.
And like Ascension, the series as well.
Wiped that from my brain.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like they're not. It's not really that. When you think, we shouldn't compare, maybe, but think about Resi 7 when that like came out and like kind of took everyone by surprise.
Took the world by storm.
I was going to say that, but I dialed it back because I knew I'd get roasted.
It's been up and up.
It has just been relentless.
It's an incredibly successful game. I think it's fair to say. Yeah.
But
I feel like with Silent Hill, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, James, but it kind of feels like they needed to come back in like a bigger, like, way that was kind of just much kind of more true to what the expectations of fans would have been. Like, to do the interactive, weird little movie thing
that was like that
Ascension
shit.
Was like, and then this kind of like free bite-sized experience, like I feel like they would have been better placed coming after the 2 remake. I don't know,
but I also just think just quickly as well, like I was talking to a friend of the show Steven about this earlier this week, and like they haven't put their money behind like a AAA developer, right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Obviously, Townfall is NoCo, which is like a new developer. Not bad, but the smaller scale. You know, the next mainline game is made by the people who made Resident Evil Resistance and Reverse. Like, this one is obviously made by Hexel Drive, who they made like Parasite Eve 3 many years ago and ported other shit like to mobile until then. So, like, it's just not like this big slew of killer studios they've got behind their stuff. So, I don't know. And then, obviously, Bluebird, like, up, very up and down. But, yeah.
It's interesting that, because you'd have thought there would have been, like, a fair few studios, like, willing to pitch for a Silent Hill game.
The rumor was that everyone was, like, a lot of people were, but Konami wasn't interested. And now they are in the last few years. Because I saw what Resident Evil was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And maybe the studios that were initially pitching suddenly have other projects occupying their time.
I don't know. It's a weird situation. I thought it would be a surefire hit, but so far it hasn't been.
Brody, I'm curious for your opinion, because I know you're a big horror guy as well. Is this on your radar at all to play? Can you see yourself getting around to it, or has James maybe dissuaded you now?
Yeah, look, ever so slightly has dissuaded me. Like, I was interested in this when it all leaked originally, because the key art was really cool, and that was pretty much the only thing luring me to it. But
like the monster?
Look,
is that the...
Sorry. Yeah, is that the one with the post-it notes all over its head?
Yeah. Oh, it's, it's a cherry blossom tree. Yeah, it is.
Oh, well, shit. I'll play it. I'm a sucker for cool-looking shit, so...
It's low frame rate, too. Like, the monster moves like the puppet from Death Stranding.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Really, okay.
Yeah. Look, I think it's very low risk. It's low risk in time, and it's low risk, obviously, in cost. So I don't see why you wouldn't give it a go just to try it. Like, even if you Yeah, go on. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think new fans will enjoy this. And I think that's going to be... That's the difference. I think a lot of people who really like Silent Hill from the past probably won't enjoy this as much. But I do mention in, like, my little write-up that the two things that were made by the people who made the original games, like the monster was designed by the same designer as the first few games, and the music is done by the same guy, they're all great. but just all the other shit around it that doesn't really make sense.
Okay, so that suddenly makes me feel a lot more comfortable about it, though, like knowing that newcomers to the franchise might get more out of it.
I do like just because you don't know any too.
Just because you don't know any better. Yeah,
there's no baggage.
I'm the sort of guy that'll put the bins out at night and then run back to the door because I'm scared because I don't know what's behind me.
If someone came at me with post-it notes all over their face, I'd be terrified. 100%.
What about a walking cherry blossom tree?
Terrifying.
Scary, right?
Yeah.
What about a walking cum tree?
Anyway,
there's your Halloween costume sorted.
Shannon, you're muted.
Shannon has hot takes.
Come at me, I'll be stationary for it. That is all.
The Kieran, anyway. did I catch it that you had played the game as well? Haven't got to.
I played like an hour of it. Like I did. Okay. I guess like the first of. I think it's three chapters, James.
It is three chapters, Kieran.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, I did tell James if I wanted to play a worse Layers of Fear, I'd play Layers of Fear 2. but I don't know. I should go back and finish it. Like James said, the monster was really cool. Like, that was probably the highlight. Mm. But it was just like the dialogue for me that was really kind of corny and cheesy and didn't
Like that, like, weird those ABC children's cyberbully movies. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really like, I don't know. But then the people who worked on this, right, a lot of tweets have come out and they've said what they worked on has been chopped up a lot and changed a lot in the from when they'd had it like a few years ago.
Right.
So it sounds like something's happened behind the scenes, like, and they've kind of, I don't know, repurposed stuff or something.
Interesting.
But yeah.
I must admit, like, the themes of it kind of do really interest me as well. And I kind of hoped, because it's such a difficult subject matter to wade into. And I think a horror context is, like, such an interesting approach to it. But I'm sure that takes some tact to kind of deliver in, like, a meaningful or an impactful sort of way. And maybe they haven't quite stuck the landing on that. But all the same, it does intrigue me.
There's, like, just last thing, sorry. There's, like, also live-action bits in the middle of each, like, bit. And the weird thing about those is they're like, I don't know if they just played Alan Wake and were like, let's do this too. But like, it's the girl is clearly speaking Japanese, but the voice is in English. So it doesn't match up with her lines. And in a game, you can kind of forgive that. But with live action, like, it just doesn't look right. And there's just like so many weird little things like that. And then, like, it's set in Germany, but it, I don't know why, and nothing looks German. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just there's lots of weird things behind the scenes that make me think that maybe it was chopped up a lot.
Right.
But yeah, I still think try it. Okay. Like, obviously, it's free. Give it a go. See what you think.
Yeah.
Talk about it with me. But they were definitely scared that you wouldn't get it. Like, that's, I think, the big thing, and everything is just so over-explained to you. But
yeah. Yeah.
So if you finish at UN and you don't know what's going on, there might be a problem, but we can talk about it.
Well, we'll have to find out. Look, we are going long, but sorry. I did really want to get to Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, because the game is now out there in the world. There was a lot of conversation kind of around the launch of this game, because I don't know, Kieran, like, when did we get our code for this? And, like, what are we doing recently. With a review? Very recently, yeah. Okay. So it's kind of going to be a review, like, after post-launch sort of review.
Definitely.
And I'm sure you'll kind of get drips and drabs of people's impressions as we go. But that's kind of seemingly the case amongst, like, most outlets out there around the world. And it's never a good sign when that's the case. And Shannon, I don't know if you've kind of seen much of people's impressions so far, but would you think it's fair to say it's been a pretty lukewarm reception?
Yes, but I do think, and I think I said this before launch, that it is a pylon. Like, I don't, the review code situation, like it being a live service game, like it is fairly standard without review events. Like, for it to come when the deluxe edition happens, so that like, I'm not saying that meant it was definitely going to be good or bad, but, like, I don't know, it's not that odd to me. But yeah, James and I played like 3 or 4 hours, I want to say, and I feel like from what I've seen, most people that have played it have not said it's like game of the year, but like they haven't shat on it to the lengths that people have been in the last month before playing it. I feel like it was just one of these games that everyone wanted to hate, and there were lots of reasons that you could jump on that and get behind that train if you wanted to.
Mm. How did you find your experience of the game, James, based on what you played with Shannon?
So I've had I've had two sessions so far. One with Shannon, one without Shannon.
He's ready to unleash, isn't he?
I'm not.
Should I have gone to Brody, asked him about the game instead?
No. I do like it. I think it's better than a lot of people have kind of insinuated, and I agree with Shannon. I think there's a very big pile on this game. And I think it's really unfair. I know that, like obviously, you know, the microtransactions are a little bit fucked, and it's a bit, the deluxe is really expensive, and for what you get, blah, blah, blah. But I do think as a game, like just playing it as a game, I'm really enjoying it. Like, I had some fun with Shannon, like for the most part. Like, I think all the characters are really good. The ironic thing is, like, I feel like all the things that me and Shan had problems with are tied to the fact that it's always online / stuck in a server. Do you know what I mean? We'd have like weird glitches, and like, you know, I got disconnected. Do you know what I mean? Like all that kind of shit. Like Shannon's progress didn't save because I did one mission before he jumped in or something. Apparently, I don't know.
So really, we got up on the wrong foot by James getting ahead of me.
I just played one scene because I didn't think you were coming.
But it was literally like the first mission. So that, like James, like that shouldn't affect anything. Or it should have like warned you or something. Like to play two or three sessions, then me just have nothing.
And
going to do this stellar game, you have to get that shit right.
Absolutely. But like on the other side of it, like I feel like crossplay works without any issue. We didn't really have any like lag issues or any like anything like that. Why are you laughing?
Because that, I don't know. It's for like, people, for listeners of the podcast, that's obviously an important factor in us playing games together. Like that. That's the first question.
Mm-mm.
True. Yeah, I guess stability is an important thing, and like crossplay, you don't often get that at launch necessarily, or at working seamlessly. But yeah, like these are kind of quite serviceable things, I would say. Like I'm sure people are like wanting more from the game besides it being operational.
Oh, okay. Well, so let's get into that then. So the traversal is amazing. I think it's really fun to get around.
The traversal's grown on me.
Do you disagree? Yeah.
I don't know. You have to find, like,
So you have to find a character, I think, that you really mesh with. I feel like with the shark, I can get around pretty fucking well, like with his jump and stuff. And I think like some people might, if you've just been playing Harley, like her grapple is pretty like tough to kind of understand, or even like Boomerang, like I feel like a lot of his stuff, there's a little bit more skill to it, admittedly. So like if you're just jumping in, like that's going to be quite tough to kind of get your head around. But I've been enjoying like the second session I played by myself, not because it was by myself, just because, you know, I got to grasp the controls a bit better and not worry about where my partner was like, it was just like fun to, you know, get the combos up, do the suicide shots and do like all the, you know, kind of work out how it all works and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I think it's cool that the bad guys are actually bad guys. They haven't just watered them down because to make them anti-heroes, you know what I mean? They do bad shit because they're bad, you know, or they do good things purely for them. Some kind of,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Because like
the story and the characters and like the world
and
like
the tone and stuff, I think, are all really good. Like,
yeah. And based on what I've seen, the kind of dialogue and the jokes aren't always hitting. But I've just like, I feel like that's kind of a very subjective sort of thing. And I'm just not a big like Suicide Squad guy. Like,
I'm not a comic book guy. Really, like, done. I don't know. Yeah, I've never been a huge fan, like, but I'm enjoying this for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Some of it is shit. Some of it's funny. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's the same with most stuff.
Yeah.
But
what's your feeling at the moment, Brody? Are you making time for this game? Have you played any already? I'm not sure.
No, so I missed out on all the alpha sessions that were, you know, going on a month or two ago, and I've been away for the week. So as I was actually coming back into town today, I thought about stopping into JB to grab this, and then I decided against it ultimately. But I'm interested. I'm interested for a lot of reasons. Like, I really trust Rocksteady as a developer to be able to at least make a game that's fundamentally fun. Whether it's obviously going to have its issues with the live server side of things is another thing. Like, I was a Destiny player in the early days, so I feel like I'll be able to get through it. It doesn't really bother me that much. And I'm obviously interested from a story perspective because I really like DC. I like all the characters. I do like the Suicide Squad. And I'm not... Obviously, there's a lot of uproar about certain decisions they make story-wise late game regarding certain characters, but... You know, I'm not nearly fragile enough to let that bother me.
I doing different things, to be honest.
Exactly, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's unexpected.
Yeah.
Like,
So I think if anything, it makes it more interesting. So, and I don't think it dishonors the legacies of any characters. Like, let's get real here. So,
Can I just butt in quickly? Sorry,
please.
Thank you,
James. No, go ahead, please.
The way
you are so nicely.
Well, you know, like, I feel like every fucking comic book thing is doing multiverses now, right?
And it's hot.
That's in this. Like, so I don't understand why people are getting upset if, you know, Lois Lane eats 10 sandwiches and then dies when there's 25 other Lois Lanes.
Is that what happens?
No, I don't know.
Spoil the game.
When there's like 35 other Lois Lanes in other things, they'll just pull. Do you know what I mean? Like, that. There's no consequence in these things anymore.
They're from different Earths, James. Yeah. They're from different Earths.
Okay.
It's not allegedly killed this Earth's Batman. It's not good enough. We need to rally against the machine.
For me, like, all of that stuff, like, obviously, like, is here or there, and people are going to like it or not like it. And James, you might have more to say on this. But for me, like, just the core gameplay is fairly boring, I would say. Like, it is... The traversal stuff is really cool, but, like... It's taking down the same like purple enemies over and over again.
Yeah, I think it's that. And it's the same happening issue. In the world. And then what the thing me and Shannon running into a lot is like, because we were so good, is we would get to a mission and finish it, and then you have the post game, the post mission screen, which takes like a good 30 seconds to go through like who was the best, and then here's 80 knives and pick your favorite, and then you know, and then you have to go and do another mission. And of the 10 minutes you play, you spend about 5 of those minutes in those screens,
and it breaks up like any momentum
loot.
Generating. Like, it's so frustrating,
and it's not as if they're like hour long missions, and you feel like it's literally like 5 to 10 minutes. And granted, like, it's early, but. Yeah, coming from the Batman games, which you could just be doing like anything in that world, And it just didn't feel like a chore. Like it never felt repetitive.
And, yeah, Gotham felt alive. And I feel like, again, we're coming off Spider-Man 2 kind of into this, like as the superhero genre, in which the traversal is just like so fluid. And I gather that they're trying to do something different with the traversal here, kind of keeping in mind the characters and their abilities. Like Spider-Man is a very different character, so of course he traverses differently. But it does just feel a little bit kind of slower as a result, and which is just kind of, I think, affects the kind of quality of the play. And yeah, the world, like as you're traversing about it, it just doesn't really do enough for me. Not in the way kind of like New York was constructed in Spider-Man, and not in the way that like Gotham was constructed as well, like in previous Rocksteady games. So yeah, that, that's a bit of a pain point for me as well.
Do you have to go back to the fire station in between missions?
No, thankfully. You do have to go to the map and suggest missions to each other or something. This is the other thing. Me and Shannon got into this weird loop where neither of us could pick missions. We could only suggest missions to each other. And then, like, no one could make a decision because the game kept saying, Shannon suggests this, then I suggest this, but it wouldn't let us pick.
That sounds like
controversially, I actually think I prefer Gotham Knights.
A lot of the people are saying that.
Yeah, which is like wild to me because I always thought this would have more potential. But
yeah, I didn't play Gotham Knights actually. I maybe should have, but absolutely. I played a lot of Marvel's Avengers and really enjoyed that. Like the post game, like as soon as I finished that story, I put it down. I was done. I think
it's better than that.
Personally. But yeah, I'm seeing people go coming down differently. Yeah.
Well, I don't care about people. Would you care about me?
Yeah. Yeah, what I'm saying, I guess, like, I still need to make that call. I'm not really sure one way or the other yet. But
at least you're trying, Yui. That's all that matters.
Like, look, if I got enjoyment out of Marvel's Avengers, I'm sure I can get enjoyment out of this. I feel like if the story there that I can digest and I can do it with a mate or two, great. I'm in for it. So yeah. I'm eager, at least as far as that's concerned, to play anymore. Kieran, I'm sorry I've not got to you in this. Did you have anything you wanted to weigh in on Suicide Squad?
I feel like it's all been said. Like, I haven't played the game since it launched. Like, I played a little bit of the beta. My feelings are pretty much the same. Like, the world definitely, like, fell flat for me in the beta, at least. It kind of felt more just like set dressing than something like Gotham, which was, like a rich place where you could kind of get lost in it. It's sad that that's missing, but also it's a different style of game, so I guess it makes sense. The cutscenes are really cool. I enjoyed those from what I saw from the beta. I just think it's probably not my style of game. Cutscenes
are good.
Yeah, cutscenes are good.
On YouTube.
There's this person like told Shannon. I remember Shannon was like enjoying this game, and someone was like, it "looks shit," and then Shannon was like, "Have you played it?" And then they were like, "Oh, I've watched it on YouTube. It's 5 hours," and I'm like, "Shut up!" Like people who do that, like just play the like you don't even know how it plays. Like I don't anyway. Sorry.
As someone that's probably spent more time watching people play this game at this stage than having played it themselves, like I can tell it's more fun to play than it is watching other people
absolutely
play it. It's monotonous watching people play it. It's that kind of grindy a game, I guess. Like it's very spongy sort of enemy style thing. But yeah. Maybe
it's a game. I feel like you'll enjoy it.
Shit, that's what Shannon kept saying.
It is.
During our session, Ewan would really like this.
It is. There's a market for this kind of game.
And it's Ewan.
That's not to say that they should all be, like, just kind of run-of-the-mill. Like, I think there's better ones and not. But, hey, I played 120 hours of Anthem. So, if I did that, I'm sure I can play 20 hours of this game and enjoy it.
That is fucked up.
The game was fun, though.
That was
that game was fun. Like the content just sucked.
Review and which playing is, across two platforms, but dear me. Anyhow, I have a rapid fire question for you all. Kieran, I'm going to come straight to you in this one.
I forgot about this.
What celebrity do you want to appear or predict will appear in Kojima's espionage action game when it comes out in 2030 or whenever it comes out?
I forgot to think about this, so I'm just going to say. Move on and ask someone else.
One's just come to mind, so I'm going to jump in because he's a big music fan. I think he's a big Florence and the Machine fan. I reckon Florence Welch coming into the game would be sick.
Actually, no, I got one.
Should be cool. Yeah.
Tim Robinson.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Just as the comic relief character.
I was going to say Lady Gaga. I feel like she'll be ready to.
Oh, yeah.
She was a big gamer at one point. I don't know if that's
She was
still
into Bayonetta for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. She was.
Brody, who would you like?
John Leguizamo.
Okay.
He's back, baby.
And James?
I feel like none of these answers were serious, so now I'm like confused, but let's go.
Where is a rapid fire question ever serious? John Leguizamo.
They should have someone like Roseanne Barr or something, like someone really controversial. Nah, I don't know. I can see. Let's go Gillian Anderson. She can finally get her Jane Bond moment.
Actually, that's a good call.
Yeah. She wants to be Jane Bond so bad. So let her be Solid Snakehead. Whatever.
Solid Snape.
Snakehead. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, it is time for What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess with a round concluding after a person's bagged themselves 2 points. As last week's winner, Brody, is in the hosting chair. He's currently in second place on 3 points. James is one ahead on 4 points. Shannon is in third with 2 points. And myself and Kieran are tied on 1 point apiece. Confusing when I read things out of order, but hopefully that somewhat made sense. Brody, the show is yours. Take it away.
Thank you. All right. So, game number one. The gameplay has the attributes of a side scroller with role-playing elements, such as leveling up to increase stats over time. Battles with enemies use a system of turn-based combat similar to the active time battle system found in games of the Final Fantasy and the Grandia series. The player can control up to 2 characters during battle and swap these 2 with waiting characters. Up to 3 enemies can appear during battle. If the player approaches... this has gotten long here. The game's story takes place in the fictional land of Lemuria. A child who wakes up in Lemuria after dying from a mysterious illness must bring back the sun, the moon, and the stars that are all being held captive by the Queen of the Night in order to return home. The game received mainly positive reviews, with particular praise for its visuals, presentation, gameplay, soundtrack, and story. Initially revealed at GDC Europe 2013 by creative director Patrick Plourde, the game is said to be inspired by Studio Ghibli and Yoshitaka Amano in its art style. And in presentation, similar to games like Vagrant Story, Final Fantasy VIII, and Limbo. The lead programmer was Bree Code. No. The game is narrated by Canadian actress Carolyn DeHavanis. Apologies, Carolyn, if I got that wrong. The game was designed using UbiArt Framework Engine.
I know. I know the game. I just can't remember the title.
Oh, James. La, la, la. La, la.
I think Shannon technically buzzed in first.
That was Shannon.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Jesus, that was aggressive.
It is not Valiant Hearts. James, I believe you're next
one.
In line.
James?
It's the other one.
James?
Yeah, James, you're next.
Is it Child of Light?
It is Child of Light. Well done.
Bugger, I thought that game was so early, but I was like, I thought it was real time. Like, I didn't remember turn-based combat at all.
Well, indeed, Huey, it was turn-based. So, James.
You said the programmer's name was Bree Code?
Yeah, pretty cool, isn't it?
I like that.
That's some next-level shit. Okay.
I'm James Podcast.
Off the mark.
That's my name.
James is on one. Moving on to game number...
James, what the wiki.
What the wiki.
Twat.
James Resident Evil. James Resident Evil speedrun.
Can we please? Okay.
Yeah, we can.
It is quorum.
James, do you want to win this or not? Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. The game...
Wait for you to drop out again.
The game features both couch and online co-op for up to 4 players. The game takes inspiration from military science fiction such as Aliens and Starship Troopers. While solo play is possible, it is often beneficial to play cooperatively. Kieran.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Helldivers?
It is Helldivers. Well done, Kieran. Woo! Protecting the sweep. I just realized I've got one too few games if you each get one from here. So hopefully someone gets
just
this.
Don't answer, Ewan.
Okay. So what's that? James and Kieran on Shannon's one.
Shannon's just ruled out.
Shannon on and Ewan on Nilpois. Okay, game number three. The game is an airplane-based shoot-em-up. Unlike traditional shoot-em-ups, in which the direction of the player craft is fixed, the game allows 360 degrees of motion, more akin to a multi-directional shooter. However, the player's main weapon can only fire from the front, forcing the player to take into account the position and angle of the airplane. Players must take into account the momentum of their plane while flying, using gravity and drift to maneuver as much as forward propulsion. There is no health bar. No. Player health is indicated by a circle around the aircraft that shrinks as damage increases and naturally regenerates when not firing the weapon.
I'm just going to take a punt. I feel like this is so out of our wheelhouse. What was it called? Is it War Thunder?
No, it's not War Thunder. Jan Willem Nijman of Vlambeer started the development on the game while on the airplane home.
Were any of those words?
Okay, I'll double back to the front here. As I said, the game is a shoot-em-up video game developed by Netherlands-based indie developer studio Vlambeer and published by Devolver Digital for Microsoft Windows, OS X, Linux, PS3, and PlayStation Vita. It was released in March 2014 and ported to Android by General Arcade in 2015. Ooh. A Kieran. Remake of the game, Kieran.
Is it Aces of the Left Wing?
It is not Aces of the whatever you said. No.
Is it even close?
No. In as much as that's a game with a plane in it. But no.
Yeah, that's about it.
A remake of the game titled Blank was developed by Paul Koller for Commodore 64, of all things. That's pretty cool. Shannon.
Jeez. We'll never know. Shannon's good.
We'll give him a chance to come back.
He's going
to
look it up.
We'll delay.
Yeah.
Is that
he's like, oh, my computer froze. Oh, my Google like froze.
Is it? Cool. Like, I don't know the name.
Shannon,
like
are you with us?
Or something. Am I there?
Yeah, sorry. Go on. What was your guess?
It's like, I don't know. It's not right, but it's like Lufthauser or... I don't even know if that's a word.
You know what? I'm feeling generous. That's close enough that I'm going to pay it.
It is that, isn't
it's,
it?
What's yeah, a fuck, it's, man?
It's Lufthausers. So, you know... he said Lufthauser.
What is this?
He put a bit of stank. Look it up. It's a Devolver game. Lufthausers.
I knew it was something.
Is this because I mentioned Germany so much when we were talking about Silent Hill?
Absolutely. So... you can't get the next one, otherwise I need game. To find yeah, another
it was
game.
On like Vita or PSP, I remember playing it.
I remember this art vividly now.
Do you know okay, where else away. All the other games have
sorry.
Do you know I'm where sorry. Else all the other games have been so far? They've also been on Vita. Okay.
Is that what the theme
that
is?
Might be a okay. theme. Okay. The game is chronologically the fifth installment in the series, itself a part of the larger franchise, and released for the PlayStation 2 in Japan in July 2008, North America in December 2008, and Europe in March 2009. Sorry. I was talking.
Sorry, I'm taking a real big punt here. Is it Jack and Daxter the Final Frontier? I don't know if that's a Vita game or a PSP game. No, fuck.
It is not. It was re-released as a PlayStation 2 classic for the PlayStation 3 in April 2014. It takes place in a fictional Shannon.
Want to continue this?
No. Nah, I don't know. Nah, continue. You've lost me at that.
Please.
Japanese.
It takes place in a fictional Japanese countryside and is indirectly related to earlier games. The player named protagonist is a high school student who moved into the countryside from the city for a year.
Oh, Ewan. I don't know if I can buzz in, but I'm...
Ewan.
Am I in?
Yeah.
Is that a new paragraph? Is it Persona 4 Golden?
It is Persona 4 Golden. Oh. You're going to have to...
I think we got that at the same time, but I didn't buzz in fast enough.
You're going to have to give me just a minute.
I love how I'm using the top of my mic as a buzzer now. This is a new thing that I'm doing.
All right. So just to recap, I'm finding another game, James is on 1 point. Kieran is on 1 point. Shannon is on 1 point. And Ewan is on 1 point. I've clicked into a game, and now here we go for the tiebreaker. Okay. The game is a third-person platform game which utilizes almost all of the PlayStation Vita's features in some way. In one example demonstrated in the game's announced trailer...
Kieran.
Oh, you and up.
Is it Tearaway Unfolded?
It is Tearaway Unfolded. Well done, Kieran.
Well done, Kieran.
Well done.
What a play.
Huge.
Huge.
Obviously all Vita games.
All Vita games. Well, yeah, just obviously related to the news that you alluded to earlier, that there could be a successor in the works. Does that excite you, Shannon?
Sure. I'm not at all. Who would need a portable PlayStation?
He's device? Shitty about the conversation before, the Steam Deck conversation.
I can imagine. I can imagine he's stewing on it.
I'm frothing.
All sorts of sub-tweeting and sub-messages going on all over the place, I'm sure. But anyway, the winner is Kieran.
Well done. Well done, Kieran, in the hosting chair next week. And with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast, brought to you today by SteelSeries and their new range of Alias microphones. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. Thank you as well to everyone joining us on YouTube for the video version of the podcast. I do kind of put little notes in there as well, like when there's delayed recordings and stuff as well, which I did today. If I forget to do that on Twitter, maybe double check that. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty.
Also joining us today was James.
I'm on X at Jams, ATJAMZ.
Winning well, the weekly today was Kieran.
Yeah, I'm on stuff, but don't follow me this week.
Okay. And hosting what the wiki today, it was Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.